That's really bad.
That's the intro. That's very good.
I'm scared.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this crazy episode of Father Knows Something. As you notice, that Pedro is not with us this evening, but he does want to come back.
Does he?
Honorable guest. Wow. Yes, that little man.
Yes, he was very happy, and he really loved all the writings that you guys sent him with love, and he really was so excited to see them.
And he made the thumbnail.
And he did. He was so proud. He's actually going to send you back a paw print.
Oh,
nice.
Because he said, you got Holly on the wall. I want a Pedro with a paw print.
He's got to put a lot more episodes in before he makes the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah, you got to earn your spot. Holly did some time.
So Pedro, if you're listening, you got to come do the time.
Do the time. We are doing the time today. We're putting some hours in today.
Okay.
We've got a really good theme, kind of coming from the vibe of like, don't overthink it. Trust your gut. You're having some intuition. You're writing a response, you know, so you're kind of already there. Don't overthink it. Go for it.
This is about trust your radar.
Or it's a tiny problem. No radar required, but you're still overthinking it.
Go with your gut.
Is our theme today.
Don't overthink it. Go with your, it's like taking a test.
Yeah.
It's like deciding what you're going to have for lunch.
Don't overthink it.
Which we did overthink it today.
I had to delete all the pictures I was sending them from Traders as I was going to bring them food.
I know. You sent me like 15, 16 pictures.
Yeah. So
it was appreciated.
Let's kick it off. Hi, everybody, again. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Let's go.
Story number one.
Number one. Hi, FKS gang. I really need everyone's advice. I, 49 female, am embarrassed to admit this, but I don't know how to drive. I tried learning in high school, but I was terrible at it, and I have horrible driving anxiety. Just the thought of getting behind the wheel nearly sends me into a panic attack. Up until now, I've never really had an issue with not driving, as I usually take an Uber wherever I need to go. Recently, I met a wonderful woman online, 51 female, who I am really interested in dating, and she's interested in me too. The problem is, of course, is that I don't drive. We live about 20 minutes apart, which is fine, and I don't mind taking Ubers to meet her on dates, but she brought up recently that it bothers her that I don't drive, and it's the only issue she has with dating me. She does have some health issues that sometimes prevent her from being able to drive, and she was worried that if we were out and about somewhere and she starts to not feel good, then I'm not going to be able to drive us anywhere and that we are going to have to sit and wait around for her to feel better. I totally understand her concerns with that. I'm willing to learn how to drive and really tackle this issue because we really do like each other and I want to give this a shot, as does she. If facing my fears of driving is going to help, then I will definitely do that. But I had two problems. First is obviously my extreme fear of driving. It absolutely terrifies me, and I don't know how to get over that. Second, as I have no one to teach me how to drive, I looked into driving schools. They are super expensive and definitely not something that I can't afford. So I'm conflicted on what to do. I really want us to work out, and I don't want the fact that I don't drive to stand in the way of that. But I'm also stumped as to how to learn how to drive when I have no one to teach me and I cannot afford driving lessons at any of the schools near me. Any and all advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Well, you want to get over that fear? Go swim with sharks. You'll have a whole new fear. In reality, a lot of people have fear of driving. But, you know, people in the Uber world really grew up saying, I don't have to drive. And they were very comfortable doing the ability of using Uber and other options. That all said, you're a few years away of the driverless car. They're out there today and they're producing them. Really, the cars will be totally autonomous. Depends where you live because of snow. But to get through what you're really talking about, maybe you can, at best, because you're now a team, maybe she'll be able to go, you guys can go out to a very rural area where you cannot feel the constraints of traffic yet, where you can get at least used to the ability of how the car controls itself. And you'll feel that road, but before you do anything, you're going to have to go get your permit, which means study for the test, go get your permit, and then go out to a very rural area where you can drive and feel the vehicle underneath you and grow some confidence before you put yourself in traffic. I don't know if you live in New York City and you're dealing with high concentration of craziness, or you live in a town where you can really drive and not have too much anxiety.
Yeah, no mention of where. I will say, though, you do need to typically go through a driver's education course and have a couple behind the wheel lessons before you can get your permit.
Okay.
So that's how it worked back in 2010, I got my license.
Yeah, and I only remember back from 1821, so.
It's been a bit longer for you, yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, but I do think that's an idea to consider is you might have to, I don't know, do what you're going to do. I'm not going to tell you to do something one way or another. But it might be good to just like sit in the front seat of the car in an empty parking lot and get comfortable and maybe, drive around in the parking lot or a dirt road.
And I'm not trying to make you feel, anything other than that you can do this. But I remember that, just to give you an idea, Morgan was behind a wheel probably at the age of 6.
Yeah, but it is scary. There are a lot of options out there. And I get the driving schools might be expensive. But something I would consider is there's a lot of driving, like specializing therapists that will go into the car with you and kind of work through some of your fears. There's fear of driving and anxiety treatment programs. So this might be something to do first. Your insurance could even cover it because it is so negatively impacting your life. And you have to figure out the language you can use to justify it to a doctor, but it's preventing me from going to medical appointments. It's preventing me from living my daily occupations. It's impacting me negatively for my job and relationships and blah, 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 blah. Insurance might cover that then.
This is a priority thing too, Morgan. I mean, if she's going to get a license, she's going to definitely want to get a car or something. I mean, we're talking about how are we going to manage this? And if this woman is her partner, then maybe that, they do it together out in the rural area, because evidently money is already an issue. I don't know what they can afford.
Yeah, well, and that's the other aspect of this too. It's cars are expensive. You can finance them, but you just have to look into what is feasible for you and select the best course of action. See if your insurance will cover some classes. AAA has a driving school that's pretty affordable. So maybe if you can find one where you have to go a little further to have an affordable class, that's something you have to do. But any last minute ideas here for this one?
I don't know if I'd involve this new woman in the process.
Okay.
At least not at first, because it's a pretty intense emotional situation.
Really good point.
And I think if you're going to have, I don't know, you could break down, you could have little emotional outbursts. You could get very frustrated, and this may not be the person you want to have right there if you're just trying to, you're trying to build something with them.
That's a really good point.
And if you involve them at the start of this, I mean, I know you say you don't have someone to teach you, but have you asked everyone? Because I think people are very willing, even if they're a coworker or not even the closest friend, to say, hey, yeah, I'll take you over. We can go to the parking lot and drive around a little bit.
Your thought is very good, but here's the one argument I have for it. What a great test to see if this is really your person.
I think eventually, sure.
Yeah.
But once you can get in the car and know that you can confidently at least drive around a parking lot, I wouldn't involve them until a later stage.
Yeah.
They can be part of that, that success story for you. But I just at first, it's so unpredictable. Yeah. I wouldn't take out two things with one stone unnecessarily.
I think to the comment here, just the thought of getting behind the wheel nearly sent me into a panic attack. And if that's the case, you don't want to put this added pressure on the new relationship. I think look into the therapy, look into courses, and let the ball be in your court a little bit.
And just ask somebody.
Yeah.
I would ask anyone.
Don't overthink that. There's so many people. If someone asked me to teach them how to drive, I'd be like, sure, let's go. I think I'd be very good.
As simple as it was, I took Morgan into a parking lot and let her go drive where she couldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And you couldn't even see over the windshield. I think you were basically on. I did get you.
I was like 8 or 9.
You were driving the little Healy by 8.
I think that was like 11.
Really?
I think that was 11.
Anyways, guys, I definitely think it's doable for her.
Yeah. Don't overthink it. It can be really fun and you'll get there. I know you'll
get
there.
Yes, it can be fun. It can be terrifying, but it's more of just really a necessary part of living your life. I mean,
for a lot
without
of people.
Driving, it's so restrictive unless you're in a big city like New York. I could live there with no car.
Yeah.
New York City. There's no car needed.
That's right.
And yes, you can get through with Ubers and things, but at some point, having your own car is the most convenient thing in the world and being able to drive that car.
I hate driving. I'm going to be honest. I wish I lived in a very public transportation friendly city. I don't like driving, but it is a nice thing to have, just to have. But if I could never drive again, I wouldn't.
And we would all be happy. I love going in Waymo. If I can get the driverless car, if I ever buy another car.
Those freak me out.
It will be the driverless car.
Oh my God, no. But moving on to number two.
Number two.
Trigger warning on this one though. It does contain mention of ED. I, 29 female, have known my boyfriend, 31 male, for 7 years, dating the last two. We have had an amazing relationship, both as friends and as a couple. I love him dearly, and I can't imagine my life without him. But clearly I'm writing in because there is a barrier to that. He has said hurtful things to me in the past and has demonstrated values that directly contradict my own. For example, saying he doesn't want to move in with me because my eating disorder might disrupt his peace at home, refusing to apologize for hurting my feelings or making me cry, belittling me in front of others. However, when I bring these things up, he does grow and changes. He has started therapy because I asked, and he has been able to stop behaviors that have hurt me in the past. I feel like he does everything right, and I can tell he loves me fully for who I am. The problem is, I can't get over this feeling that he's not right for me. And I believe I'm struggling to forgive him for the things he has said and done. I feel guilty being in the same room because he looks at me with love and I know I don't feel the same as I once did. Is it possible to change things? Ideal outcome, I want to know how I can tell whether or not this is something I can salvage. I have been pushing these feelings for 6 months. It's like when he's away, I feel heartbroken but resolved in my decision to leave. And when we are together again, I can't bear the thought of leaving or doing something that may hurt him. Additional info, when he told his friends and people who I had considered my friends that we started dating, they told him to dump me, and he did, for several weeks. When we finally did get back together, we were definitely on the high of proving everyone wrong. I feel like that whole situation robbed us of the opportunity to closely analyze whether or not we were going to work as a couple versus being better off as friends. I wonder if I ignored red flags that may have signaled a lack of compatibility, and sometimes it feels like I'm in love with and committed to a person who just isn't right for me.
Don't overthink this one.
Trust your gut.
That simple. Who can consider someone to be in a relationship with when they can't even make it a priority not to hurt you? I mean, to be able to hold you with the utmost respect and to put you on this plateau where they wouldn't even think about it and they can't control it. That's a tough one to go into. So that's easy for me. Find the person that, there are people out there. Find the person that's going to love you and respect you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it goes along with what you've been saying the last couple episodes. If they are not right for you, you break things off, you'll know very quickly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she already knows, though, given the fact when he's gone, I feel heartbroken but resolved in my decision to leave.
Right, but she hasn't done it yet. So if you haven't made the choice yet, you're still kind of, and it says right there, is this salvageable? Well, the quickest way to get your answer is to truly break things off and then see if you still feel resolved in your decision. And if then it just kind of grows and you move forward and you're like, yeah, that was right.
I think that's all fine and dandy, but you also, you can like break up and truly just feel good in your decision. You don't, like for those out there where you're like, well, I think I want to break up. Like I'm not really in love with him in the same way. Let me break up and then let me see. Let me wait. Let me, you know, test my feelings. It's also fine to completely trust your gut and just call it. You know, if people hurt you so much and you don't think you can ever get over that or ever trust them with your feelings again, it's okay to not as well. And I think it's interesting he broke up with you based on his friends telling him to. You know, he was 29 at the time he did that, which is pretty emotionally immature.
Yeah.
He's not 18. He was 29. So I think you just move on. I think someone who refuses to move in with you because of, you know, a disorder you have, and I hope you're working on it, but someone who's going to belittle you in front of others, it's not a person that values you and cares about your heart. And I think these are warning signs. And we get a lot of stories of people that stay with this behavior, get married, and then they get married and they're really locked in, and it gets 10 times worse. And so I already think if you have this, the writing is kind of on the wall. Don't overthink your gut and what it's telling you.
A quick story. I had a neighbor, a friend of mine, and he was seeing a woman. They kept breaking up. They kept getting back together. They finally got married, only to really break up permanently.
Mm-hmm.
It took the marriage to get the message across that this is not what they wanted. So it was 2 months after they got married that they finally divorced, and that was the real end of it. Don't push it till you have to get to that part.
No.
I mean, if you see issues of disrespect right off the bat, just think higher of yourself to move on to that there's someone out there that's really going to respect you and really love you and never abuse you. This is abuse. It's clear and simple.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like a mismatch to me.
Okay.
Moving on to number three.
Let's go. See how I did that?
Sounds like you're golfing.
Hi, Jerry, Justin, Morgan, and whoever else may be listening. I've been listening to THT since the early episodes, and I just want to say that you've been a major cornerstone of my late teens and early 20s. And I absolutely adore Father Knows Something and love the perspective Jerry offers.
Thank you.
I'm writing in because I could really use some advice. First off, I apologize for being a bit vague. I just don't want anyone I know to recognize that it's me writing in. I'm a 23-year-old female who graduated college about a year ago. Since then, I've been working full-time in a more corporate role. I got the job through the help of a family member, and I truly cannot overstate how grateful I am, not only to them for trusting me, but also to my employer for giving me this opportunity. I know what a blessing it is to be employed so young, especially in today's job market. That being said, I'm at a crossroads. I know I'm still young and might not have the broadest life perspective yet, but I feel kind of stuck. I've always felt a calling in a certain civil service role. It's something that's been in the back of my mind since I was a kid. To make that dream happen, I know I'll have to put in a lot of work, as the preparation for this job takes a lot of time and effort. But the thing holding me back is the fear of disappointing the people who took a chance on me, especially by pivoting to a career that's so different from the one I'm currently in. Right now, I'm in a solid industry that could allow me to become very successful sooner rather than later. The job I dream of isn't financially lucrative by any means, and that's a trade-off I'm willing to make. But what if it's just a pipe dream? What if I completely derail my trajectory because I can't see the broader picture? I'm seeking advice because I feel like everyone in my life is afraid I'm about to make an impulsive decision that will make life harder for me. Most people I've told about my dream either don't take me seriously or flat out say it's a bad idea. I get where they're coming from, but the thought of potentially building a future where I help people every day is what gets me through my day-to-day. My ideal outcome: I want a clearer roadmap for how to navigate this point in my life from people who do not know me personally. I want to pursue my goals, or at least try. I don't want to majorly mess up my life by making the wrong move, and more than anything, I don't want to disappoint the people I care about. But at the same time, I don't want to look back and regret not even trying while I'm young and capable of doing a physically and emotionally demanding job.
The job that you have, you're getting great experience. And to say, get rid of that job rather than get some of the experience, it's an opportunity to get some experience, because when you go to the next step, whatever that, even if it's going to be a different level or a different area in life, that the experience you're gaining here is opportunity for you. And when you move on to something else, I don't know if they'll necessarily be mad at you because you've gone somewhere else or disappoint somebody. They're going to see that you've gone somewhere that you're going to actually flourish, and they're going to be proud. They help lay the groundwork for you to grow, to go find that area. It's okay that you go to a job that pays less if you really love it. And if you grow with it, it's fantastic. So you don't have to drop out today. Do what you were hired to do, unless you really feel that you need to go and leave now. And if you have to leave now to go do it, you do it.
Yeah. Here's the problem with being super vague. Vague? What one is it?
Vague.
Vague. I'm like, okay, well, what do you need? Are you trying to go be a social worker? If you don't have the credentials for that, you're going to have to do some school. Can you work this job, get the experience, and get the social work education or credentialing on the side? Give us more details, people.
Well, there is just a touch.
Okay.
I've been I've always been extremely attention deficit and hyperactive, which makes me really forgetful when I'm understimulated. This can make me feel like I am bad at my current job. I want to be in a more physically engaging role because I've found that my mental health improves when I'm active. When I'm stagnant for too long, I tend to become a bit depressed.
You have one life to live. One. Who's got to go to work and do your work every day? You. You need to pick a job that makes sense and that you love. Who cares if the other people in your life are disappointed that you left this job? So many people's parents want them to be doctors and lawyers and go make all this money. That's not the reality for a lot of people. You have to live your life. You have to do this job. Do something that you find fulfilling, because otherwise life is going to be real long and you're going to get to the end of it wishing, God, what if I would have done that? I wish I would have tried to, you know, do that and that. I would have gotten so much more back from that career. You can always get back to this job. It'll be there. If you exit in the right way and you don't drop the ball on them, you say, hey, I'll give you a month's notice and then I'm going to go to school. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go work this other field.
I'll train the next person in.
I need to see what if.
Isn't it amazing how a little extra words changes the whole direction here? That last context, absolutely flip that switch automatically.
You're unfulfilled.
It's time to move on. It's time to go find what you're going to want to grow with,
yeah,
and not lose any inspiration. We didn't know that before.
No, you can't be so vague on us. You got to give us details, and no one's going to recognize you.
Well, I feel like if there's a little bit of the family member kind of sticking their neck out for you, got you this position.
I don't care.
The reality is you've been there for a year.
Oh, your time.
It's not like you've been there for a month and then you're like, oh, not for me, I'm out. You worked there for a year.
A year's doing service.
So if the family member says any part of your family that then is trying to back them up says something along the lines of, you know, they kind of put themselves out there, they got you this job, and you're how well you do kind of rides, it shows on them. And if you leave, it'll be, but at this point, a year in, if that family member was just normal, and let's say they're kind of intertwined in the same company or something, if they tell everyone else, hey, yeah, they just realized they really wanted to go do this. And though they enjoyed their time here, they did great work, they're just going on to other things. Who's going to fault you?
No one.
Even in the company. I get how family can sometimes hold things.
That person's already got their referral bonus. They're good.
You know, when I used to hire people and I'd get them through a job, you know, placement service, it was a 1-year contract. I had to keep them for 1 year. After that year, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I think a year is totally fair. I'm glad you brought that up.
You're done. Go do your thing.
A year is a lot of time.
Look, the fact that you served the 1 year, we're all saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Take your direction. Let's see where this path takes you. End of story. It's perfect right on theme. Don't overthink.
Well, you know me, of course I'm going to say, go do it. Yeah. That's what I've preached the entire time we've been on this show.
Yeah, you hate a what if.
Go, take the chance, try it. You can always come back. And even if you come back and this position's not here, you can come back to something in this field is what I mean. It's just, you got to try. Yeah, you never know. It could change your whole life.
Yeah, even if it's not that same company, you've got a year of experience. A competitor is going to want you. So go and try what you actually want to do. Don't overthink it.
If family's mad at you, be like, sorry for making my own choices and trying to make myself happy and live a life I want to.
I don't think it's an issue. I think you just exit and go find your next path. You'll find it. Everyone has to bump into a few walls before you find the doors.
Mm. Moving along.
Are we okay? Number 4.
Yeah, you getting ready to golf?
Yes. 4.
There you go.
Hi, Jerry and crew. I need some advice on a situation that's been lingering, literally, at my house for over a month.
Ooh.
I'm female 29. My ex, male 28, broke up with me about a year ago, and we haven't spoken since. A little over a month ago, I got a package delivered to my apartment, but it was addressed to my ex. I figured he must have ordered something online and forgot to update his shipping address because he can be irresponsible like that. I texted him a photo of the package, and he replied saying he did need it and had forgotten to update the pre-saved address on the website. I told him no problem and just to let me know when he's coming to pick it up, and I'll leave it on my deck or in the mailbox for him. I figured there's no need for us to interact because of this. Well, it's now been 32 days. I've followed up twice. The first time, he said he'd come grab it on a Saturday, but he never showed. The second time, I asked again when he'd be coming, and according to red receipts, he saw the message immediately after I sent it, but he just didn't respond. It's now been almost a week since I sent that last text and still no response. He lives only 20 minutes away. So here's my question. Would I be an asshole if I just threw the package out at this point? Or should I suck it up, drive it over to him, and drop it off just to be done with it?
Hell no.
Part of me feels petty throwing it away, and I also don't know if that'd be illegal since it's not my mail, but part of me feels like it's not my responsibility to drive it to him when he's the one who made the mistake. He's had plenty of time to come get it, and I'm tired of having it at my place. Would love to hear what you all think.
Well, I have a great remedy.
Okay.
Put it out by your front door. Tell him that tomorrow at 9:00, I'm putting it at my front door. It's yours to pick up at 9:00. From that point on, if it's gone, not my problem.
I want to know what's in the box.
I don't give a shit what's in the box.
I do. After 30 days, it's abandoned property. It's yours. Open the box.
Yeah, what's something useful to you? What if you could use it? Would you rather throw... Jerry, let's say it's something very useful to you.
He likes to waste stuff.
Yeah, I'm not that person.
What if it's a box of amazing, great socks for the show, brand new? You'd rather throw it in the trash.
I don't care if it's a box of diamonds and box of gold.
Open the box.
My answer
is... And then let me know what's in it.
My answer is I send him another email.
You don't even have to. Tomorrow, she's already sent two.
Email.
Text message, 9 o'clock in the morning. It's out by my front door. Come grab it or whatever happens. I don't give a shit. It's gone.
I think you've done more than enough. If you wanted it, he would have been there the day he found out it got delivered there. He doesn't care. I honestly, I would be concerned that it's one of those packages that you open it and it like explodes glitter everywhere. So when you open it outside and then let us know what's in it.
I already put his name on it though, you know?
Some people don't care.
Or maybe someone's trying to target him and thinks he still lives there.
You never know, but open it up. Otherwise, like bring it to Goodwill. If it's something you don't want or need, just, and it's useful.
Because where's the line? We get it's illegal to open other people's mail.
But I wouldn't open it.
But if it's something that someone else could just use, then it's very wasteful to throw away.
Or if you really want to just, I don't know, whatever, put return to sender
and
hand it to your postal person.
There you go.
And then play the song.
But I'd open the box first to see if there's anything you want in it. I don't know.
If you're actually going to write that on the box, you have to play the song as you do it.
Return to sender. Address unknown. Don't you know that one?
No.
Return. Oh, Elvis Presley.
No such number.
No such number. What's the? I don't know the words.
It's
just
Elvis.
Go home.
It's Elvis.
It's a bop. Sounds like a bop.
Classic.
But yeah, don't overthink this one. You don't have to keep reaching out to him to get the package back. You've done more than enough. If he wanted it, he would have came and gotten it.
Kick it to the curb.
Just shake it and see if you can figure out what's in it. Like. Kids on Christmas.
Yeah.
Or Morgan still does that.
I don't even
every gift.
I don't even want to know what's in it.
I do though. So tell me.
Yes.
You want him to send it to you? And
yeah.
Tell him to
well, no. I just
contact
want to know
you. Contact Morgan to get it.
No. I've got a hard time getting to the P.O. box. But moving on.
Number 5.
Okay. Number 5. Hi, Dad. I love the show and have been a fan since day one. I'm a 29-year-old female, and I just got out of a long relationship with, we'll call him, F. I wasn't really into this guy, but it felt like a safe option. Here's the situation. There's an ex, we'll call him A, who has been in my life the last 10 years. Even through other relationships, A has always been in the back of my mind. Between relationships, we always find our way together again. A always told me I deserved better, and when I had started to date F, he tried to come back into my life. I didn't go for him and feel like I ended up wasting my time with F. I've been in love with A, and I'm now single. A tells me I will move on and find better, but the thing is, he is my forever. I feel that if I don't fight for this, I will miss out on a once-in-a-lifetime love. If I move on, he will always be in the back of my mind. Has anyone had this? I truly believe that if you love something, you fight for it. But am I naive in this scenario? I fear that I will either live in regret for not fighting, and I fear that no one will live up to the love that we have. It's truly an indescribable feeling. Ideal outcome, I want to feel this love forever. I would like to try with A, but scared I will have regret in either way it goes.
Get A out of your system. Go for it. Put all into it. Go all forward. And see what happens. And you may find out once you're together that you're able to walk away with a clear conscience. You have to be able to be healed to go on.
Yeah.
And since this guy is not getting out of your head, even though you're separated, you're back together, separated, back together, you just have to truly give it everything you have and then either go forward and go with the gusto or it will terminate and you'll be able to go on with your life with a clear conscience, with finding the right person.
Yeah, I feel like for me, if you don't give this a shot, you're going to continue to self-sabotage because that's what you've done the past couple years and relationships you've tried. Like you've self-sabotaged because you've had an ex in the back of your mind who you still think is your person, your forever love, your once in a lifetime love. Like you have to give it a shot. You have to pursue it. Otherwise, I don't know if you're ever going to really move on.
I mean, you could screw things up with someone that would have been your person.
Yeah.
Because you think that A over there is Prince Charming and who you're meant to be with. So go figure out if he's Prince Charming so that when, if it's not A, if the one does come into your life, you don't turn them away and lose that potential perfect future because of this fairy tale you have in your mind with A. So go see.
And I've been here. I've been here. So you definitely will find out one way or the other where this thing goes. And and take the shot. Go for it.
Yeah. And I will just say, like, if A keeps giving you excuses like, oh, you're going to move on or you'll find better than me, take that as your sign. If A wanted to be with you and you go to him and you say, I love you, let's give this a shot, and he still has excuses, not your person.
Move on.
If he wanted to, he would. And you need to be met with the same energy you're putting out there. Like, you love this person. This is indescribable love. This is your person. And if you're not met with that, this isn't your person.
Yeah. Right.
And I was actually wondering, why is he even saying this? What is it?
To keep a hook in, to keep the hook in the fish, even as the fish goes and explores. You keep a hook in, and if that is the case, it starts to become very manipulative, where I can have a hold on her while also going out and being with these other people. So then you'll be able to find that out too.
You'll find it out very quickly.
Because if he doesn't commit, then you need to start looking at potentially cutting him out of your life altogether.
Cutting the hook.
So that the manipulation can't be there.
Right.
Because we know it's not real.
Yeah. If he doesn't come, come together with you, cut the hook and go on with your life.
Absolutely. No more excuses. We're going to give this a real shot. There's no more cat and mouse. There's no more have your cake and eat it too, where he gets, you know, the friends with benefits relationship with you in between relationships. And it's a have your cake, eat it too. You've been, in some regards, treated as a placeholder, where I'm in between relationships. I'm still looking for my person, but we work out pretty great in the meantime. And you love this person. If he's not going to give it a real shot, then you can't keep falling back into the net, the trap. Because it's hard. It's hard when you love someone and you think that's your person, but they're not giving you a fair shot, which just says he doesn't reciprocate the feelings in the same way. So quit overthinking it. Either you're in or you got to be completely out. But I think the only way you're going to be out is if you dive in.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
We all three agree?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Then there you go.
I've been there. I mean, God, I would drive 6 hours for a guy that I loved and he didn't even want to date me. So we've all been there time or two. I mean, it's hard, but don't get taken advantage of, because you do love and you love him and you're deserving of love, but if he wants to, he will.
Would be interesting if you sat over there and every time I was like, you agree? You agree? I agree. Unanimous jury. And then you slap the gavel, do your verdict.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yes.
I agree. Unanimous verdict.
And then you start wearing the full judge uniform every time.
With the curly hairs.
Sure.
That's could go British, old school. Yeah.
Number six.
Number
Are
six.
Are we ready?
Hi, Jerry, Justin, Morgan, and friends.
Hey.
I've listened to your show for years along with THT and have seen THT twice in Minneapolis.
Woo!
That's wonderful.
I also met you guys and spent some time with you all after a show. But this is my first time actually writing in. Okay, on to the issue. In my past, I've had a few long-term and serious relationships. However, after my last one ended, I've chosen to stay single for a while. This past year, I've begun looking for something again, not necessarily in a rush, but I would like to start something lasting with a partner. I've had 3 situationships, and of those, 2 of them love bombed me very hard, then left me feeling not good enough. The other was a slow burn, but would never actually commit or make any effort to make me feel like we were ever even truly dating. All of this to say, I've finally met someone who I think is genuine, but I'm having trouble not panicking. We met a little over a month ago on Hinge and have gone on 5 or so dates. He expressed that he has paused his Hinge account, and I did the same. I do have some worries, though, because our schedules are very opposite. I have a class and work early each day, so I'm up early and try to sleep at a somewhat decent time each night. I've quickly learned that his schedule is 3 to 11 p.m., and he goes to the gym and stays up very late, and then sleeps until 1 or 2 p.m. each day. That being said, it's hard to see him. He has also pushed back plans or canceled on two occasions when the opportunity to spend time with his friends came up. I understand that his schedule makes it tough for him to make any plans like that, so I get it, but I was still very disappointed. Our conversations are usually pretty engaging, and he texts me when he can throughout the day, usually 3 to 5 occasions and like 3 to 5 texts each time. So it's not like he's blowing me off. However, I can't shake the feeling that I'm getting my hopes up again and that he's just going to ditch me like I've been ditched before. I have anxiety, and sometimes when I'm waiting on a text, like right now, it spikes and I find it hard to concentrate or relax. I feel like I'm overreacting, and because I'm so used to being love bombed, this slower pace is making me overthink. But I don't know. I can't help but worry. Ideal outcome, I'd like to be able to relax a bit and maybe have a little reassurance that this is going somewhere. I love the way we click, and our first date was amazing. We watched the lunar eclipse together and had hours-long conversations. I don't know. I just want to get out of my head.
You guys may not like this one. I think that I believe that everything should kind of happen organically. And if he is not meeting to your needs of timing, you can be very honest with him and say, look, you know, our schedules are kind of off unless we can make it a priority both ways of our, on both sides of us to be together and spend time. I'm going to continue dating. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep that door open. And if we make it and then you were able to find time for one another and get to know each other better, great. But I don't think you need to give him any kind of permanency or commitment other than saying when we can get together, we're going to get together and keep your door open.
Yeah, I completely agree. You've only been talking, dating for a month. That's too soon to let someone give you text anxiety and when they're going to text me back. And you shouldn't be sitting there waiting for a text back and getting anxious. If he wants to, he will. Despite having opposite schedules, if he wanted to find time to connect, he would. So it might not be you. And like, that's a hard thing to kind of get in your head where it's like, if someone's ghosting me or a situationship didn't work out, it's like, well, am I not enough? Like, that is so easy to fall into that way of thinking. But really, it's like, think about making friends or trying to interview for a job. It's like, you're not going to vibe with everyone. And how do you know you vibe with someone? You date, you talk, you see. It might just not work, but it's not something to take personally. So I would do what you said. I'd honestly keep it really casual and just say, I think our schedules are a little different. I'd love to prioritize us finding time to go on some dates and connect. But if you can't do that, I'm going to go back on Hinge.
I also know it can be hard to click with someone, as you say, and have them, you know, be above the rest. Because if you go through a string of failed situationships or you know, bad people, or even not bad people that just don't mesh with you, when one does, it's like, oh my God, it just is that crazy spark, that crazy feeling. But even when it comes to someone you're clicking with, so many things need to fall into place that are bigger than just that. That's kind of the first step. That's being able to walk through the front door. But now there's a lot of things that need to align that are not just surface level and not just basic. Yeah, it's great when you can connect with someone and have that lunar eclipse night and hours-long conversations. Like, that's the best part of dating and when you find someone. But in reality, as you go forward, logistically, things need to line up better. The schedules can't be like this. That's not functional for a serious long... Like, I mean, some people probably make it work.
Yeah, they
right?
do.
But I'm saying, I think the vast majority, when you're raising kids and you're looking at all this different stuff, it's nice to have your stuff align a little bit because you want to spend your lives together.
For sure. But like, this sounds like it's also a season. Like, I have class early. You know, you're not always going to have class forever. the bottom line is this person also needs to make reciprocal effort.
Mm-hmm. Foundation.
You're only a month in. And if there's not a mutual effort, a mutual excitement, a mutual respect, don't overthink it and just move on to the next bird. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. If he's going to put in the effort, see where this goes. You know, you do get excited when you start dating someone new and there's that initial crush and you want to talk to them and you want to spend time with them, but it's got to be reciprocated.
Let me ask you a thought. What do you think is going to happen when she says to him, you know something, I really enjoy the time we had together and I do like you, but because of this inconsistency, I'm definitely going to keep my door open. I want to be honest with you about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you anything different. And how do you think his behavior is going to change? Do you think he's going to say bye, or you think he's going to really wake up and say, if there's a chance here for this woman, I better step it up?
Yeah, I think it could cause him to wake up, but you also need to do it for the right reasons. You can't do it to get him to wake up. You can't use it as a manipulation tactic because it could come off that way. You're not going to put time into me. I'm going to see other people.
Well, that really is the way it is. But, if he's not, then she needs to do that.
But you can't use it as manipulation. And if you say that, you have to go on other dates.
Absolutely.
You can't say that with the intention of saying it just to get him to,
no.
Buck up.
I'm actually saying it to be realistic.
And you should. Yeah, you should.
I mean, otherwise, because she said, I've removed myself from Hinge.
Yeah, I think you absolutely should see other people.
My answer is I'm back on Hinge. And if we are able to pull this up and develop. And
yeah.
Remember, this is the foundation period of this relationship.
It's early.
And we're having a problem already in the foundation.
I mean, it shouldn't be this hard to connect, and canceling on you once to hang out with friends or family if something really important came up, sure. But if it's happened multiple times within a month, if he wanted to, he will.
I'm curious how they were able to get together for 5 dates. Is that weekends?
That's honestly, 5 dates in a month is pretty good, girl. Pretty good.
But I'm curious when. Because during the week. It seems
maybe
like
a weekend,
maybe
combo.
We could get together for lunch.
Never know. Dinner.
Before he works. Well, his schedule's 3 to 11. Does that mean his work schedule?
I don't know.
Because it's 8 hours. So that's that's just an interesting block of time where once you're done with class and stuff, you have a little window then before 3.
Days off. Maybe he works, you know?
Put it this way. If somebody wants to spend time with somebody.
They'll find a way.
They're going to find the time. And if he's not finding the time, he doesn't deserve to have that seat at the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
Put yourself out there. Keep going.
We all agree on this one?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yes.
I agree. Judgment in.
Last but not least.
We have another one?
We have a number 7 today.
We do. Let's make rock and roll. Number 7.
Number 7. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin. I've been binging FKS since I finished pretty much every single THT episode, and I absolutely love hearing your advice. I never thought I would write in, but I've been struggling with something lately, and I could use your opinion.
I want to hear it.
I, 24 female, moved to a new state in August of 2024 for a job. I was offered the job right out of college and was terrified for the move. I am over 1,000 miles away from home and all of my friends and family. But luckily, I found an amazing group of friends here, and I've been making the most of it. I know I don't plan on staying here forever. I'm from the South, and I am now living in the Midwest, so the winter weather is pretty unbearable for me. I would also like to be closer to my family in the future. Here's my issue. I'm in a stage of my life where I really want to date and start looking for a long-term partner. I haven't dated very many people in the past, so a lot of this is new to me, but it feels like something that I really want now. I started dating a guy that I met on an app last November. We had a great time together and got along so well. Fast forward to March of this year, and we mutually decided that we needed to break up. Neither of us wanted to, but the reality is that I want to move away from here eventually, within the next year and a half or so, and he does not. My question for you is, how can I navigate dating when I know that I don't plan on sticking around forever? I don't want a casual, non-committed relationship. I truly want to find my person and look for something that could be long-lasting. But it seems impossible when there's so much uncertainty of where I will end up. I feel like if I continue to date here, that I will constantly run into this issue. Who would want a timestamp on a relationship? I'm upfront with the information that I plan on moving away eventually, but it feels like that will deter pretty much everyone from wanting to date me. I don't blame them because I know it would probably deter me too if roles were reversed. I'm also very wary of long distance because I've never done it myself and have only witnessed it through my friends' relationships. It seems incredibly difficult, and I don't think I'm the kind of person that could handle it. I don't even know where I might end up next and for how long. So there is so much uncertainty in this whole situation. What would you do if you were in my shoes? Is it selfish of me to keep dating here given the circumstances? Ideal outcome, I can date and potentially find a long-term partner without the constant fear that it will end once I move away.
I think if you're going to go on the apps or when you meet somebody new, you say, look, I am here today. I have a job that might be here for a year and a half. If we are going to spend time together, don't enter into this unless you are really prepared that you know that I could end up moving away in a year and a half and you're willing to move too if we succeed. Mm-hmm. If you are locked into living here the rest of your life, let's not go any further. And that way, at least you've been very upfront. This is the challenge of what may happen. And you take that fear right out of it from the beginning, that if this person realizes that you guys may make it and you may have to move, people do relocate themselves in relationships.
All the time.
And it works.
It does.
But if you're upfront about it, at least we know. There are times where I've been in relationships that I said, I will never move. I'll always be here. But the bottom line is you never know what's going to happen in the future. And if you're with the right person, home is where your heart is.
See, but that's the issue, right? Because the timing of when to bring this up is really what determines it. Because if you do it right away, someone who's thinking like you are, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, I'll probably never leave here. But the right person. But if you do it too early, how are they going to know you're the right person that they are willing to change that and go move for?
I think that if you actually disclose it right from the beginning, I think that is right because it's honesty and you've put it on that table. You've laid it out. And later on, they might say, you know, you're just not the person I wanted to do this with.
I think you wait a little bit. I don't think it needs to be first date. Just so you know, in a year and a half, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, I'm going to move. I think you see if you even like this person first. You could wait until date number three. There's not a lot of investment there. And you could say, hey, you know, do you ever plan on moving? Would you consider moving out of the Midwest? I really want to live somewhere warmer, closer down south where I'm from. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can rebut that by just saying, my biggest fear that I have in a relationship is that something may happen in the future where I want to move. And if that's going to be something that you'll never want to do, let's not go any further because all of a sudden you've opened that door to like that person. And now you got to go face it in the next date and you're already excited about it.
That's the reality though that you're putting on yourself by saying, I want to date, I want to find someone seriously, but I also want to move. You can't have your cake and eat it too in this situation. So you either need to put yourself out there and take that risk of maybe falling in love with someone and then they don't want to move. Like even if someone tells you on the first date, yeah, I'm open to moving. The reality is you spend a year of your life with them mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, I'm looking at places in North Carolina. Are you down? And they could say, actually, no. And you've spent a year with that person. It's the risk you're going to take unless you literally only exclusively start dating people on the app. You set your location to where you want to move to.
I may not know where I want to move to because
it doesn't sound like they do.
And so that's what, but I still say, are you locked in living with the rest of your life right here with mom and dad and brother and sister, or are you going to be open?
I think you can ask that. When is the question?
Well, and there's ways to poke at that without necessarily being like, are you open to this? Because I'm leaving in this amount of time.
I didn't
you
say can I'm kind leaving.
Of, yeah.
Right. But
it's a concern of hers right now.
She is leaving. She's set on leaving. A year, year and a half.
Okay.
Doesn't want to live in the Midwest, which, where are you living in the Midwest? It's beautiful there.
Also, you find good people in the Midwest. But, you know?
But today, I already know that I want to, if you can't get someone to understand that right from the beginning, don't go step two. Move on.
I'd give it 3 dates.
Okay.
I'd give it 3 dates and get to know the person a bit more and see if you vibe and then say, hey, you know, have you ever considered moving?
Isn't it interesting, guys out there, that we all have, well, two agree. One guy's on his high horse.
You are. I mean, me and Justin went through this. When we first started dating, Justin had just moved from New York to LA to do music. Mm-hmm. And I told him after grad school, I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm going back to Minnesota. That's where I want to go. And he was scared shitless. But, you know, you fall in love and then you get stuck in LA because he can't move.
But you're still even talking about leaving.
Yeah, I think we are both on the same page now of like, hey, you know, 5 years, 7 years, we will be back in Minnesota. I love Minnesota.
I mean, it is a good point to bring up because I don't think I made that a big deal.
You did
it. I don't think I really talked about it or brought it up.
Not at all.
Just the same when I first asked you to be my girlfriend, you said, no, I didn't make it a big deal. I didn't say any, I didn't come to you the next day and be like, oh, why don't you want to be with me? Why aren't we doing this? It hurt, but I just took it, moved forward, booked the little trip for us to New York. Just continued on as if I had never asked, just still trying to, and win you over is kind of a weird way to put it, but just
find that a weird way at all.
It was just trying to get to know you better, trying to have fun and trying to keep what we had and not put a lot of pressure on, oh, you have to be my girlfriend or I'm out. It was more just put your head down, keep going. And so I guess when you apply that here, it's so difficult. You got to kind of read the person that's sitting across from you.
Yeah.
You'll know the timing, but I think it's also a lot easier, maybe on the first date if it's going well, or second or third, to say, hey, you know, are you, because you're obviously going to know if they're from there. Do you see yourself staying in this city long term, or what's kind of the outlook for your life? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? You know, that's kind of basic things that have no implication of what you're thinking. And then if they say, you know, I've been here my whole life, I'm thinking about maybe moving somewhere else and experiencing a different place for a time. Mm-hmm. There you go. And then at some point you can kind of lead into that conversation. Well, hey, that's funny because I'm here and I'm thinking about doing this.
Yeah.
And then that can grow with you guys together, especially then you get closer. That time's going to keep approaching. Then you can, you know, you got to know someone maybe a couple months before you're like, so would you want to move with me?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No,
early.
And that's also a thought I had. Like, you could spend the next year, year and a half dating and not meet a person at all. Like,
yeah,
that is dating. That is love. Love is putting yourself out there and taking a risk, and maybe you'll get hurt. And that's kind of just love and dating.
And it's worth it to find that right person.
Yeah. So just go out there and start dating, and you have the conversation early on, you know, first date, third date, whatever you want to do. But I definitely think it's a conversation you have sooner rather than the 6 month mark, the 9 month mark. But the thing about relationships is you don't know until you're really in it. You know, you could meet someone and you on the third date say, hey, are you into moving? And they say, yeah, I am actually. But you make it to month 9 and you move in together before you move and you don't even like this person anymore after moving in with them. And then you break up anyways. Like, you can try to plan as much as you want for your life, but sometimes it just doesn't go according to plan and you only figure it out by living life and doing it. So just start dating. You know, all these other write-ins today, start living a life that makes you happy, that makes you fulfilled. And just don't overthink it because life has a way of working itself out.
And if you don't find someone, well, in a year and a half, you're going to probably be where you're going to be for a lot longer of a time. Mm-hmm. Then it's even easier.
Whole new dating pool.
Nothing to lose.
And by the way, we have had write-ins over the years that and we've been here a few years.
Couples now, yeah.
That have all of the above. They have moved. They have not moved together. They have succeeded. They have not succeeded. There's no guarantee, no warranty. The bottom line is I hope you got a lot out of this show, especially in the adversity in this answer.
Yeah, we're very diverse on our takes today, and you're going to have lots of comments as well. For those listening, if you can relate in any way, if you have any advice, tips, tricks, put them in the comments.
So do we all agree that there's choices and there's life and you have to enjoy
Absolutely.
It and move forward and just go for it?
Where you might be, you know, hitting a gavel down there like you're a judge, but we are not morally superior here. We're just given some takes and the community comes together too. And
so we all
take it with a grain of salt.
That life will always bring us a little bit of bowl of cherries. We just have to decide what cherries we're going to eat.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about cherries.
And there is your gavel. And to all of you, thanks for joining us this week. We will see you at Patreon.
Yeah.
For those who want to join, we encourage you. I'm sure we have a group T popping up in the near future.
Sometime soon.
Because I know that it's supposed to be every 4 weeks at least.
We'll see what we do.
Okay. And we love you. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Ha ha ha.